Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards. Save big money
at Menards. Caroline, Willie, D-Maze, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. Ask D-Maze in 30 minutes. Get your questions in for D-Maze, because remember, the best question for D-Maze gets a really good prize, and I'm not going to announce it yet, because it's a really, really good one. But send your questions in, and we'll get to your calls and your texts. But the Predators are on the road this weekend, taking on the Philadelphia Flyers tomorrow morning. A little matinee, 11:30 puck drop. And, Willie, the Predators need to come back after that clunker against Vegas. They need to get the confidence back. They need to get the momentum going. But I feel like my message or my discussion points with the Predators have just gotten stale at this point, because I feel like it's, you know, they lose and that was a rough game. They need to get back on track. At this point, every game matters. Every point matters. And then they'll come back and they'll win a couple games and they'll look good. And it's like, okay, good. They're getting some production either from the top of the roster, from the guys that you need to get production from, or, you know, good for the young guys, the Juuso Parsonens and the Tommy Novaks of the world, for, you know, for really trying to come back and contribute. And it's okay. Things are looking good. How do you keep it going? And then they might lose another one, and it's like, okay, well, that was a game that looked bad, and they need to get the offense moving, they need to get the power play moving, so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's been this constant cycle of bad game, good game, bad game, good game. And I can say all day long, okay, the Predators need to come back and get a win against Philadelphia, the Predators need to have a good game against Philadelphia, and they do, and that's true. And if they do, then it's okay, great, they get things moving. And if they don't, then it's falling back into the same narrative. So I guess my point being, I just feel like my narrative about the, or my conversation about the Predators is getting stale, because it feels like the same thing every few games.
Well, it probably won't change after tomorrow's game, though.
And it's not going to.
Yeah. So and we've been talking about this for a while, but as I've been pointing out, you know, they had a, you know, one they'd really like to forget, throw in the trash can against Vegas, but, you know, despite that, they are still 12-6-2 in their last 20 games. So they're trending in the right direction if they can avoid the pitfall of another losing streak, or, you know, a drought for a while. They caught a break the last couple of days. Minnesota has played a couple of games since Nashville laid an egg. Vegas went from here, Nashville, beat Nashville 5-1, went up to Minnesota, beat Minnesota 5-1. So Minnesota's lost three in a row. So Minnesota had a chance to put some separation in, and they still remain only 4 points ahead of the Predators, and the Predators have two games in hand. Calgary, same thing. Calgary lost last night. In fact, everything lined up pretty well for Nashville last night. Everybody that needed to win to separate from the Predators, they lost. So I'm not saying it's a mulligan at all, but I keep looking back to this. This is an 82-game novel, right? Mm-hmm. Every chapter in the novel. Tomorrow is the next chapter. Chapter, whatever that was the other night, was a pretty tough read, right? Like, oh, man, what's going on with this novel? You know, but the novel changes. The story turns. There's twists and turns in the road. And at the end of the year, after chapter 82, do you have 97 or 98 or 99 points? That's really what it's going to come down to. And I think your questions probably won't change. I think in the short term, it's about Philadelphia tomorrow. Do you respond? Did it stick in your craw the other night, saying, you know what, that's not us. That's not the team we are. Let's show everybody what they are. Philadelphia just beat Edmonton last night. Carter Hart's a pretty darn good goalie. He shut the Predators down earlier in the year. He's a talent. He held Edmonton. We know about Edmonton's offense.
Yeah.
Held them to one last night. So Philadelphia is that middle of the road. They're not awful. They're not going to make the playoffs, but they are dead 500, 22-22-9. So they can beat you if you don't have your act together, right? But if you put your best out there, you can beat the Flyers, right? So that's the short term. It's just one thing at a time. What can you control day by day? Then the next big picture is, where do you sit at the trade deadline? There's 10 games to go before the trade deadline. Can you stay right in this race which right now looks like three teams for one spot is the way it looks like right now. Now, I think there could be a team or two that have a little more space in between, the teams with 62, 63 points. Could one of them fall on hard times and fall back? Absolutely. We don't know what the novel's going to go with. There's teams that go hot and cold. But right now, you've got Minnesota and Calgary with 58 points. Calgary has played three more games than the Predators. Minnesota's played two more games than the Predators. So points percentage-wise, you're right in that boat there. And so that's where the novel is right now. But you control your own destiny.
Yeah.
Show me a team that wins 19, 20 games out of the last 33, and I'll show you a team that's going to be right there and probably in the playoffs. But it's a tall order, right? You got to play your best. That's what it all comes down to.
Right.
Yeah, well, good thing that, you know, L.A., Minnesota, and Calgary aren't playing as well. So they're sort of in the same boat as the Predators, at least since after the break. Minnesota's on a three-game losing streak. And then Calgary and the Preds are both, they dropped their last game. So it's not like these teams that are ahead of them that are winning. No, they're sort of meandering around as well, like the Predators. So they're going to have to find a way to, and it's good that they, you know, have a few games in hand when it comes to these other teams where, you know, what did you say, Willie? Minnesota has played how many more games than?
They've played two more than Nashville. More. Calgary's played three more. So, but you got to win the games that you have in hand. It doesn't matter if you don't win the games.
Yeah.
So, look, we felt pretty good. Yeah, and, you know, people were saying, hey, Willie, man, you'd think these guys were in first place. I liked how they played those last three games, right? Mm-hmm. And then we hated how they played on each side, each bookend side of that three-game winning streak, right? Mm-hmm. The horrendous game against St. Louis, and then the first game out of the break. Horrendous, right? The three games in between, maybe their best three games of the year. So things are never as good as they seem when you're playing well. They're never as bad as they seem when you have a clunker, mm-hmm. right? It's all about the marathon. You know, where are you after 82 games? What can you be? But you have to stay in this race. You have to give everybody confidence that you're going to be in the race at the trade deadline because we just saw the big trade yesterday. St. Louis probably felt like they were right in the race when they beat Nashville. They lost five in a row, and then they trade Vladimir Tarasenko, and they're kind of saying, doesn't look like it's going to happen for us this year. Vancouver had that assessment right before that. That could happen in Nashville.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They lose 7 out of 10. Then I think you got to look in reality. Say, look, you know, it's not going to happen this year. We got to act accordingly. But until that happens, you got to say, look, our goal is still to make the playoffs. We got one of the best goalies in the world. We think we have some veterans that could be good in a playoff series. Let's put our best selves forward and see what happens here. So that's where I'm at right now. And we know because they dug a hole early that they're going to have to play the best that they've played, or at least as well as they've played in the last 30, 35 games. To be there.
And I think that there's a kind of a dangerous place to be in, and the Predators might be there. And Dan Rosen was on Robbie and Reichert this morning. I want to break down his thoughts coming up next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, The Game. And hey, you will get the opportunity to win something very fun whenever I find what it is that you are going to win. And I'll do that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, The Game.
Team can't score before the break. They don't have Mark Stone. It's like time to take advantage here, right? And they lose 5-1. And that's average. That's what an average team does. And that to me is what the Nashville Predators are right now. They need to be. There's talent there. The goaltending is elite. There's talent on the roster, and yet you look at it and you say, well, they have lost more games than they've won.
There you go. That was Dan Rosen on Robbie and Rextro this morning, kind of identifying where the Predators are right now. And they are, they're average. You know, they're middle of the pack. And I was looking at The Athletic a couple days ago, and there was a 5x5x5 that they put out every few weeks. And it's the five teams that are true cup contenders, five of the worst teams in the league, and then five observations about the league. And there was one of the observations this past week was, you know, the picture-perfect vision of mediocrity. And they mentioned the Nashville Predators. The fact that the Predators had really only been in the list of the top five or the bottom five once, and it was the bottom five 1 week in the 2020 season, and that was it. And the Predators have constantly just kind of been riding that middle road. And I think that's a really dangerous place for really any team in any sports to be, is you're not bad enough to get the best pick, and you're not good enough to be constantly in the playoff picture or even in the championship conversation, that you're just middle of the pack, middle of the road, and the Predators have been stuck in this cycle of mediocrity over the past few years.
I don't think it's mediocre to make the playoffs. That's my philosophy. That's my definition. Mediocrity means you make the playoffs sometimes and you miss them sometimes. I think making the playoffs every year for the last, 8 years, that's better than mediocre. I mean, it's not perfect. It's not what some of the other elite teams have done, but it's better than mediocre. Now, if you just miss the playoffs, then that's mediocre. So that's where they are right now, on the outside looking in. But I'll go back to what the numbers say. 12-6-2 over the last 20. 19-11-5 in the last 35. That's moving in the right direction, despite the debacles that we've had here recently. He mentioned Vegas. Vegas went from Nashville up to Minnesota and clobbered the Wild. So if Nashville's average, what's Minnesota? They've been pretty average here.
They're
recently.
Also average. I think yeah. That's fair to say. So,
but these are the teams you got to be in front of. This is the battle. This is competition. You're trying to get into the playoffs. So, you know, Dan Rosen is not wrong at all. Calgary's lost more games than they've won. They're 24-18-10. So they've lost 28, but they've got, so these 3-point games are big as well. How many games do you take to overtime? So this is all part of the equation here. So there's nothing you can do about where you sit here. It's all about the next chapter. And that, I think that's what you want to see. Can they be more like the team that they looked like going into the break for the most part, where you have the top players doing their thing, you have elite goaltending, and you have some young players that are starting to help out and make them a little bit better offensively. So I think their best formula, this can be a team that makes the playoffs and could have a shot to win some games, to win a playoff series, which has been the goal all along from the start of the season. But look, I'm not here to sugarcoat it. If they play like they did at the beginning of the season when they really struggled, or they look too often like they did the other night, mm-hmm. or when they're struggling, they're not, the best players aren't producing, etc. They're going to fall short. But that's kind of why you read the book, right? You want to see how they go, and it's frustrating because you'd love to be sitting cruising along like New Jersey or some of these other teams that know they're going to be in the playoffs right now. Yeah, everything's gone right for Dallas, but that's not where they are right now. But the players will decide, right? They control their own destiny. The team will decide. The coaches, the players, the moves they make here. And like I said, the next marker is, how do you assess yourself as the trade deadline is about to happen in the first couple of days of March? March 3rd, I think, is the trade deadline, if I'm not mistaken. So you got 10 games to go until then. So what do you put out there? What's the story going to be in the next 10 chapters?
Do you think they, if things gets a little bit better moving forward before that March 3rd deadline, do you think they make a move, or do you think they believe, okay, we're in a good place, let's just continue to see how that goes? But that also can backfire on them, because if they feel they're going in the right direction, and then after the trade deadline, then all of a sudden you start dropping games, then people come back and say, well, why didn't you do something?
Yeah, I think I'd really be surprised if they traded big assets. Uh-huh. Some of the prospects we discussed last week when they put out the rankings there, they've got some good young players in the system. They've held on to their first-round pick the last few years. I'd be surprised if they really dive in and try to do much big. I wouldn't rule out, especially if a guy gets banged up here or there and there's a hole on the lower part of the roster, pick up a veteran, something like that. I think I could see that, but I don't think anything big is going to happen to add. What would be more likely is if they faltered, right, and they really had the wheels come off in the next 10 games, and they maybe had an opportunity to grab an extra first-round pick or a second-round pick for somebody, or, you know, a prospect that they really like, then I think they might have to look at that. They don't want to do that, but that's just how you have to do it if you look at the math. And the math isn't good. The math is reasonable right now. It's not awful. They're on the outside looking in, so they've got to do the climbing, right? But I still think there's a realistic path to get into the playoffs for sure if they play well.
Let's get your thoughts. You got some Predators thoughts lining up. 615-737-1025. Matthew from Jolton texts in and says, if it wasn't for Saros, we'd be in a similar boat as Chicago.
Yep,
and,
but they have Saros.
And
Chicago
yes,
doesn't.
And that's fair to say that, okay, well,
and Saros is going
him,
to be here. He's been here for 3 years. He's going to be here for another few years. He's young.
I think that the point of the fans is, or at least the way that I interpret it is, yes, you have Saros and you feel good about it. You could say the same thing about the Titans. If they didn't have Derrick Henry, they'd be in a much different
If Minnesota
different
didn't
spot.
Have Kirill Kaprizov, they'd be in real trouble. You know what? They've got Kirill Kaprizov. Every team's got some good players.
But I think the point is maybe that Saros is masking some of the issues and the obvious holes that this team needs to address.
That's exactly where Minnesota is. Los Angeles has no goalie, right? They have a very good group of other, they, I shouldn't say they have no good. Jonathan Quick used to be a brilliant goalie. He's got two Stanley Cup rings. He has not played very well this year, and the other guys they've got, way below average. Every team that's on the bubble has weaknesses and has strengths. And there are some teams that right now are comfortably above the line that I think have overachieved, but they have weaknesses, but they've masked them. That's what it's all about, right? In a hard salary cap where everybody's spending about the same amount of money, That's really what it all about. I don't disagree with the assessment,
right?
That's true. But they have UC Saros on their team. That's a good thing, right? People say, well, what if they didn't? What if the Bulls didn't have Michael Jordan? Man,
they wouldn't be the Bulls.
That's what I'm saying.
And it would be a totally different story. And I know. And you're gonna have UC Saros.
What if the Titans didn't have Derrick Henry? Derrick Henry. You're going to have him.
Because the Predators found themselves in that situation in the playoffs last year.
Yes.
They didn't have UC Saros.
That's right. And you saw what happened.
Ugly.
Right. But that's sports. That's sports. When the Titans lost Ryan Tannehill, their season went down the tubes. That's what happens.
Yes. But I think the point is that the Predators fans view this team, or they view how management has approached the construction of this team, and they almost want it to be bad, so they're forced to go in a different direction. Whether you agree with that assessment, whether you agree with that opinion or not, people have that opinion. So I think a lot of people are looking at it like, well, this team has so many issues or so many holes that need to be addressed. But UC Saros plays so well that those issues are almost masked.
Well, that's part of the thing. It's like if you're thinking, well, if they tanked, that'd be it is really hard to tank when you have a goalie that's good. One of the best ways to tank is to have a horrendous goaltender and not a great team.
It's the reason why it's the most important position in hockey.
But, I mean, where they are right now, I still say I like what this team can be in the best version of themselves. They still deserve a shot to do that. And they control their own destiny with that. And the philosophical part of the roster and stuff like that, I get that. That's absolutely legit discussion, right, is what is the ceiling for this team? But this is how they're built. This was the goal going in. I think in the offseason is when you can reassess. That's what every team can do. That's what we've been talking about a lot with the Titans, is where should they go with their roster? What are the best moves that they can make? But the way that they're constructed right now, I still think the goals can be reached from the beginning of the season.
Yeah, and Alan,
mostly because they have
the goal.
UC Saros. When you have a goalie, you have a chance. They have a chance to win every night because of him. And Kevin Lankin, he's played really well when he's been in there, too.
And you could even use that argument as well. And I think that's an interesting thing about, too. I think UC Saros is one of the best goalies in the world. And I don't think that you can really argue that point. Because UC Saros has been absolutely lights out for this team. He carries this team in so many games. Let's say the Predators do miss the playoffs, even with one of the best goalies in the world. I mean, then what does that say? And I don't want to get mad at a team that hasn't done what I'm saying. You know, they haven't missed the playoffs yet, but I think it should be a realistic conversation. You're one of the best.
Absolutely. And at the end of the year, they'll have that conversation, depending on what happens. Mm-hmm. But we got chapter 40, chapter 50, chapter 50. We got chapter 50 tomorrow. So that's chapter 83, I think, is, you know, we'll see how the novel ends when the season's over, and then you decide, you know, what do we got? What do we have to do?
We can't read the cliff note.
But I think like I said a couple times, like the trade deadlines where you got to have that pre-discussion, right? You obviously have it after the end of the season, but you got to see where are you after the next 10 games? It's going to tell a part of the story.
Willie, safe travels to Philadelphia.
I will do that.
Absolutely.
And so let's see what happens in chapter 50.
Yeah. There we go.
Best chapter yet.
Yeah. Should I run up the Rocky stairs tonight?
Derek, please
to kind of set the mood?
Hey, do it, man.
Or get up in the morning?
Do okay. it.
Put a Titans jersey on the Rocky statue. Okay. Yeah, yeah, get the Kansas City Chiefs fans all riled
I can't,
up.
I can't promise what would happen to that Titans jersey.
Yeah, put an AJ Brown jersey. Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah. I'll look for AJ.
Ask D-Mace is coming up next. The best question for D-Mace will get a really great prize, and I will reveal what that is coming up next. Get your calls, get your texts in for D-Mace. We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025, 1063, The Game.
G-verse. He played 15 years in the NFL.
Quick throw. Derek Mason.
He had over 12,000 receiving yards.
Midfield, and there he goes. 80 yards for the touchdown.
And now you can ask him anything. Question about football or life? Now's your time to ask D-Mace.
We'll welcome you in.
Now on Caroline, Willie, and
D-Mace.
On 102.5 and 106.3, The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Ask D-Mace is brought to you by Curation CBD. Find their healing products at curationcompany.com. Curation CBD products curated for life. Use promo code DMASE, D-M-A-S-E, at curationcompany.com for 25% off Curation CBD products. Ask D-Mace. Now, the best question for D-Mace, you can call, you can text 615-737-1025. We'll win a pair of tickets to see Nick Cannon's next superstar at Municipal Auditorium on Sunday, March 19th. Let's get into it.
Let's do it. Ask D-Mace. Whatever you want to ask me. Come on, bring it on.
Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Nate is up next. What's up, Nate?
Good afternoon, y'all. D-Mace, if you were the GM of the Titans, what players would you not trade to have a private Whitney Houston concert at your house?
Which players would I not trade to have a...
So who's not safe?
Oh, who's not safe?
I guess.
The only person that is... Thanks, Nate. The only people that are safe for me is Jeffrey Simmons. He's off the trading blocks. Can't trade him.
Jeffrey Simmons over Whitney Houston. When you put it that way.
Yeah, when you put it that way, everybody's expendable. Everybody. I'm even trading the head coach. Like, man, listen.
Is Whitney Houston your girl?
Hey, I love Whitney Houston, man. She was, excuse me, I didn't mean to say man. I hate when people do that.
It's okay.
But, no, she was, I mean, she's the, at least to me, she is the most, she had the most beautiful voice ever.
She really does have the most beautiful voice ever.
And no one, there's not many, maybe one or two people that can, you know, live in that. Remember I talked about that air that you live in that's very thin? Yeah, it's Whitney and maybe one or two other people that can stay in that air, you know.
So Whitney Houston to you is Judge Judy to Chris Sanders.
Absolutely.
Chris Sanders loves him some Judge Judy.
He thinks that highly of Judge Judy.
He loves Judge Judy. Let's get to the rest of your questions. Tim is up next. What's up, Tim?
Hey, I had a question for D-Mace and Caroline. You and Willie can weigh in too if you want. Given that we can see y'all on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live,
Superboy Sports.
Yeah, D-Mace, you're out at the grocery store getting blueberries, spinach, and fruit for your smoothie, and a fan comes up and wants to talk to you. How do you feel the best way a fan could come up and say, "Hey, D-Mace, I've seen you, love you." You know, do you want to say "Hey," or just, you know, how would you deal with that?
Hey, say it just the way you said it.
Yeah.
I mean, hey, D-Mace, how you doing? I love listening to you and Caroline and Willie on the radio, and keep up the good work. Love watching you play. Just say it like that.
Yeah, just come up
and
to us.
And I'm just going to say, yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. You know what? There's something weird about it. It's nothing weird about when someone approaches you. Like, if someone approaches me, it's not weird. I just take it as it comes. And people are generally nice and, you know, respectful. But it's, I'm always like in that weird space. Like, okay, they say this. What do I say back? What do I do? You know, it's like kind of like Anchorman when when he had his hands, he didn't know what to do with his hands.
I don't know what to do with my hands.
I don't, no, that was Talladega Nights. Yeah, Talladega Nights. I don't know what it was like. It's almost like I don't know what to say other than thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
I appreciate it. Thank you. But then you get in that weird space like, is the conversation over? Do I get to leave or do you want to talk some more? So,
am I just going to slowly have to walk away?
Backpedal.
Do you get that a lot?
I get it, you know, not a lot, but I do get it. Because I'm not out a lot anyway, so it don't matter. It's not like I'm out every weekend or every day going to places. I'm a creature of habit. I got my places that I go to and...
not your juice place, though.
Not my juice place. And I'm an old man. I mean, I'm at literally... I'm in a house, pajamas on, by like 7:30. No lie.
How it should be.
Exactly. So there you go. But yeah, just say that. Just say what you said.
It always makes me happy. I don't get it probably as frequently as you do, but it always makes me happy.
Yeah, it
whenever
does.
Someone's like, hey, I listen to you. I'm like, thank you. Okay. Thank you.
Somebody's out there listening.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that. Ed is up next. What's up, Ed? We'll get to some texts before we get to Ed. One texter texts in says, D-Mace, what do you think about players who get together to switch jerseys after a game? Are you for or against the jersey swap?
I'm for it, especially, you know, now I've gotten some jerseys and they're still sitting in the box. You know, I think it's good for, you know, if you, you know, are friends with a person or you admire a person, if you watch a person for a long time and now you get an opportunity to play against them or with them. I think that's a good gesture, you know, swap jerseys, and because that's something that, you know, you will remember and you actually have the physical thing to sort of, you know, whether you put it up on your wall or whatnot. So I think I should continue to do it. I have a bunch that are just still sitting in boxes. There was a point in time where I wanted to put them up, and I do have like one or two that are in cases, but a lot of times I just keep them in a box and, you know, I look at it as they're not mine anymore. I'm going to give them to my kids, you know. They're just, I just collect them and then they have them.
It's a cool, like, real recognized, real
exactly.
kind of moment.
Absolutely. So, you know, but I enjoy it.
All right, let's get to Ed's question. What's up, Ed?
Hello.
Yeah, man.
How y'all doing?
We're doing well.
Man, sit down for what, man? I'm watching you on Instagram, so I know you're sitting down right now.
For y'all that don't know, this is the Hall of Famer, Ed Reed, a really good friend of mine. So, and he every time I see him, he's always standing up doing something. So I tell him to sit his butt down. So I'm sitting
you
down.
You know you're angry, man.
Kick your feet up, Ed.
Angry man. No, when I'm talking to Basin, I actually just sat down.
What's going on, man?
I sat down. No, man, I guess I got to ask you a question.
Okay.
You know, with a lot of stuff going on and you had chimed in to me, you know, we were supposed to link up. Mm-hmm. I figured I'd call you and ask you a question.
Go ahead.
You know, just about upbringing. You know, I know you come from some tough situations, and you know people still in those tough situations trying to help them change their mentality, change their mindset. You know, do you find it hard to change friends or family's mindset on their situations that they're in?
You know what? That is a good question, because I think a lot of times when you're trying to change someone's mindset or change someone's outlook on certain things, the first thing you sort of get back is, man, but you don't understand, man. Look at the situation I'm in compared to the situation you're in. It's easier for you to say, you know, because you've made millions, you've done this, but look where I'm at. And, you know, I always go back to, listen, I wasn't always here, you know. There
right.
were things that I had to change. There were people in my life
right.
that were trying to steer me in the right direction. I wasn't always, you know, D Mace. I was Ricky. I was
right.
Derek, and I was getting
Ricky.
In trouble. Yes, and I had brothers that sort of, you know, steered me in a different direction, and parents that steered me in a different direction. So if it wasn't for them, those people, and people that had a bunch that sort of geared me in the right direction as well. So if I, you know, chose not to listen to them, I don't think I would have been in the position I'm in now. So, yes, I'm not in the position you're in, but I once was. So I can speak from someone that was in that position that did the things necessary to get out of that situation, and look where I'm at now.
That's what's up, big bro. Yeah, I figured I'd call and interview you versus you interviewing me.
Well, thank you, big little bro. I mean, you know I love you, man. And one thing about Ed, man, is he's a man of his word. Is what you see is what you get from this cat, even though sometimes I think he's a little nutty at times. But this is my dog right here. He is, other than my son DJ, this is my dog right here.
I think he really just called in because he's a huge Nick Cannon fan.
Yeah, he wants those Nick Cannon.
Yeah, he wants the Nick Cannon tickets.
I want to go to Wild and Out.
Who wouldn't? What a great show.
I am a Nick Cannon fan,
man.
Appreciate all your questions for D-Mace. We'll get back into your calls, your texts, your questions for D-Mace coming up next. It's Caroline Willie, D-Mace, 1025, 1063 The Game.
G-Mace. He played 15 years in the NFL.
Quick throw. Derek Mason.
He had over 12,000 receiving yards.
Midfield, and there he goes. 80 yards for the touchdown.
And now you can ask him anything. Question about football or life? Now's your time to ask D-Mace.
We'll welcome you in.
Now on Caroline, Willie, and
D-Mace.
On 102.5 and 106.3, The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Ask D-Mace is brought to you by Curation CBD. You can find their healing products at CurationeCompany.com. Curation CBD products curated for life. Use promo code DMASE, D-M-A-S-E, at CurationeCompany.com for 25% off Curation CBD products. Now, the best question for D-Mace will win a pair of tickets to see Nick Cannon's next superstar at Municipal Auditorium on Sunday, March 19th. Let's get back into it.
Mm-hmm.
Into your questions for D-Mace. Tony is up next. What's up, Tony? Go ahead, Tony.
Hey, y'all there?
Yes.
Hey, so my question for D-Mace is, over a 15-year NFL career, college and high school, what is one memory that you are glad that you were on the field to witness, not necessarily be a part of?
Ooh.
Yeah, good question, Tony.
On the field, oh, man. I wasn't a part of it, but I could say the lateral, Music City Miracle. I wasn't on the field at the time. But that had to be, I was on the field the last play of the game in the Super Bowl. So I can't count that one. Even though I don't really want to remember that. Yeah. And that's not a good memory.
Iconic
exactly.
In a bad way.
Absolutely. But the Music City Miracle, because all that it entailed, everything that had to happen for that play to actually, you know, work the way it did. I ended up getting a concussion, so I wasn't the returner anymore. And then my backup, Anthony Dorsett, ends up getting hurt, you know. So he wasn't in. And then who else? There was someone else that was supposed to be Ike Berg. Ike Berg was supposed to be my backup, I believe. And something happened where Kevin ended up being the returner. And I think Kevin was one of the designated returners, but we had two guys in line before him beside myself. There were two other guys. And the way that whole play happened, it didn't happen exactly the way we drew it up, but it worked because people that touched the football weren't necessarily supposed to touch it in that manner, but they did. And that might have helped the play work more than anything, because of it didn't work the way we drew it up. It sort of, people improvise, you know, and guys that were not usually out there, they were out there. And then guys that weren't supposed to touch the ball, they ended up touching the ball. So it sort of threw everything off, I think, for Buffalo, and it worked to our favor. So I think that had to be one of the most memorable. And then the retirement of Reggie White, the first retirement of Reggie White, because we ended up playing, I think that was the last game of the season in Green Bay, we ended up playing that game. And then afterwards, you know, Reggie did his celebratory, you know, walk or run around the stadium, mm-hmm. shaking everybody's hand. And that's cool. A lot of people just stayed to watch that, yeah. you know. So that was cool. That was really cool.
That is really cool. I mean, yeah. both iconic moments. I mean, not even mm-hmm. just for your career, but I think throughout the league as a whole.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
if you're a football fan, those are two things that absolutely stand out as being, you know, cornerstones of the history mm-hmm. of the NFL.
Yeah.
Clay is up next. What's up, Clay?
Hey, before I ask Derek my question, I just had some comments to him about what I think of him, not only as a football player, but as a man. Derek, if you remember, I'm the guy that bowled next to you at George's event. Do you remember?
Yes, I do. We talked for a good while.
Yes, and it's interesting you were talking about, you know, how you approach something like that. So I hope I wasn't too intrusive. But before my question, like I said, I respect you not only as a football player, but as a man. As much as any player that's ever played for the Tennessee Titans. And that's man to man, my brother.
Thank you.
Like I told you, I still want to get you to sign my jersey. You were my dude. As a matter of fact, when they got rid of you, Steve, Samari Rowe, you know, and they called it Black Monday, I got rid of my tickets. And so I no longer have season tickets to the Titans, but I still want to see the Titans bring a championship to this city. But I just wanted to tell you, you know, so many things, like we talked about that night. Steve's funeral, I was there. Your eulogy, beautiful. Anyway, I just respect you so much, Derek, as a player, as a man, and you are always my dude.
Thank you.
Anyway, my question I think is a good one. AFC Championship, you played for both teams. Are you for the Baltimore Ravens or are you for the Tennessee Titans?
Thank you, Clay. I appreciate it. You put me in a difficult situation.
Backed you in a corner.
Yeah, you backed me in a corner. You know, the way I look at the whole Tennessee-Baltimore thing, if they ever play, I have no loser. I think I win it with any outcome. I win if the Titans win. I win if Baltimore wins. Baltimore, because I love the Titans, but there's no, I can't, you know, like on the coaching staff and everything else, I don't know anyone that was on the coaching staff when I played, and granted it was a while back in Tennessee, that's on that coaching staff now. There are a few people that are still there from that organization that was there when I was there, and I think very highly of those individuals. Baltimore is different because John's still there, and John and I built a good relationship, and that relationship still stands to this day. We text back and forth briefly a few weeks ago. So that relationship is built and is still there. So I look at it a little bit different than what it is here in with the Titans, but when the two teams play, I just root that it be a good game. That's all I root for, is that, you know, it's not a blowout on one side or the other, but that it's a good game. And whoever comes out as victor, hey, listen, I'm great with it, you know. I may feel bad for the other team, but, hey, one of y'all won, so let's move forward.
It's almost like being the Kelce parents this week.
Exactly, absolutely. Win-win, like, you're happy for them both. You're sad because one team lost, but then you're extra happy that one won.
Happy and sad absolutely. At the same time. Steven Texan asked D-Maze, who is more important, in your opinion, the quarterback or the offensive coordinator?
I think the offensive coordinator from this standpoint, because there's not like this league is littered with elite quarterbacks.
Yeah.
So you got a handful of people we may deem elite quarterbacks like that, that can, you know, you just put them on the field and they can get the job done no matter what. But I think for the most part, this league is built with a bunch of good quarterbacks. Not great quarterbacks, not elite quarterbacks, but good quarterbacks, quarterbacks you can win with. And I think sometimes the tilting, you know, what tilts the scale a little bit is who are coaching them? Who are they being coached by? What offense are they in? Players around them. So to me, you got to have a good offensive coordinator. You got to have a guy that's capable of calling plays during the game, not putting together a game plan, because I think every offensive coordinator can put together a game plan. If you can't, then you're not going to have that job. And that's hard to do in itself. But I think the hardest part is, okay, we have this game plan, and all of a sudden things go wrong. How do I then pivot from that? Do I call the right play at the right time? That's why we consider two or three guys as the best at what they do from an offensive coaching standpoint. And obviously Shanahan, Andy Reid is two of those individuals. And there's like maybe two more out there. Doug Peterson, I think, is great. But I think you got to have that offensive coordinator, especially for a young quarterback. If you don't have that offensive coordinator, look at what happened to Trevor Lawrence his first year. That whole debacle, Trevor Lawrence is a good quarterback. Mm-hmm. But because of that coaching staff, coordinator, head coach, he looked like a horrible quarterback.
You can make that argument about so many quarterbacks, mm-hmm. even Mariota, mm-hmm. Baker Mayfield.
Yes.
Just mismanaged by poor coaching staffs. Mm-hmm.
So I think that I think as a whole, I think the coordinators are a little bit more important because everybody's not an elite quarterback.
Let's get to Wes's question for D-Mace. What's up, Wes?
Hey, how y'all doing? D-Mace, how's the smoothie search going, man?
Hey, man. It's going right now. It's going. Yeah, it's going.
Look, I got a real crazy, I don't guess it's a hypothetical question, mm-hmm. But I've always been curious about this. You see expansion drafts and teams getting added in and hockey and this and that, but just out of curiosity, what are the chances that sometime in the future the NFL does some kind of relocation on the divisions and mixes things up and just kind of the four teams that are in each division are no longer in those divisions anymore and everything just gets moved around?
That is a good question. Thank you, Wes. I think there is a possibility that could happen. They've done it before. Mm-hmm. Who's to say they may not do it? They won't do it again or will not do it again. Excuse me. Maybe in another 10 years they say, well, you know, they add another team, you know, because they've always talked about adding a team, you know, in another country abroad. So if they add a team abroad, then do you sort of, you know, mess with the division? Not necessarily. Yeah, the division, not necessarily the conference, but the division. I can see that possibly happening because it's happened before.
And I think, too, it could also depend on how much does the NFL value certain rivalries? Mm-hmm. Because are you going to shake up the Packers-Bears rivalry? Mm. It hasn't really been a very back-and-forth rivalry in the past few years, but that is a rivalry that is so, you know, deep-seated mm-hmm. within the NFL. You think about, you know, the NFC East mm-hmm. with the Eagles and the Cowboys. Yeah. I mean, that's a pretty heated, deep-set rivalry.
The Cowboys and the Giants.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, like so many of these rivalries that have existed for so long. You know, we might be seeing it with the SEC. Mm-hmm. If they are getting rid of divisions, are you going to go away with the Georgia-Auburn rivalry, the oldest rivalry in college football? You know, that's one question that I would have. If they did shake up divisions, mm-hmm. what are some rivalries that they would the NFL would absolutely want to keep intact?
Yeah, I think you would have to, you know, you look back at it, and I'm mad that you know, Pittsburgh and the Cowboys don't play as much.
Yeah.
Because that was a huge rivalry back mm-hmm. and forth. You know, but they're not an AFC, you know, Dallas not an AFC, but like, you know, Pittsburgh and Baltimore or the Titans in Indianapolis.
Yeah.
You know, rivalries like that. You don't want them to go away. So if you're going to mix up the divisions or expand the divisions, how do you then keep those rivalries intact?
Then that, yeah, it depends on how much they value those. Mm-hmm. That was Ask D-Mace. Appreciate D-Mace. Appreciate all your questions coming in for D-Mace, your calls, your texts. But coming up next, it is Super Bowl week. We haven't talked mm-hmm. enough about the Super Bowl today. We'll get in some of the storylines. And one storyline that I think could mimic the biggest rivalry that we've had in the NFL over the past few years, and I'll explain what I mean by that coming up next. It's Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.